God, we just come to you today in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for new life in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that according to your word, greater is he that is us than he is in the world. The love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And God, you said in your word, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for them authority over us. So, Father, we thank you for our president, vice president, senators, and congressmen, the legislators, the Supreme Court, and governors, and mayors, and police officers, the armed forces, the CIA and FBI, and the judge for land, for their staff, families, administration, loved ones. We claim our salvation, deliverance, and protection, and they hearken diligent voice the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for leaders around the world, people, nation, world, for Russia, the Commonwealth, the European nations, the Muslim nations, Arab nations, Asian nations, the third world countries, the communistic nations, and Israel, that every nation has the gospel preached as a witness, and then the end should come. And Father, we pray for all those laborers out there, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue arise against them in judgment thou shalt condemn. Thank you, Lord, that you anoint them and equip them, do the work of Lord Jesus Christ, that you raise up people, pray and receive them, support their ministries financially, so the work of God abound and doors of utterance be opened to them. And Father, we thank you most of all for Jesus. Thank you that you sent Jesus, paid the salvation price. And God, because of that, we just believe New England, this world is saved, delivered, and set free. That all we have to do is go preach your word, and all people have to do is receive it. So we thank you, Lord, the body of Christ rises up and takes the gospel to every person, that every day more sinners are acting upon your word. And God, we thank you, Lord, for your anointing today, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Okay, you got your Bible? Lift up your Bible. Let's make this faith confession together. God, I thank you for my Bible. It's the written word of God. And I believe that I am what your word says I am. And I can do what the word says I can do. So I thank you, Lord, for revealing to me your written word in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Good to see everybody today. You may be seated. Okay, if you have your Bibles, let's go over here to let's go over here to 2 Timothy. And I want to encourage you, if you got a bulletin, anybody get a bulletin today? If you got a bulletin in here, things are flying out. In here is a page 13. You can take notes. At least write down the scriptures. So you have those verses to look back up later on. You may want to share these verses with someone else. So if you didn't get a bulletin, raise your hand. They'll give you one. And you can start making those notes there. The backside here is I've given you some homework to do. If you look on the backside here, this yellow highlight here is I'm asking you to read our daily devotion online if you have access to the internet. And the other one is listen to a faith-building tape every day. You can listen to the same one every day for the week or have a new one every day. And then thirdly is put some time in prayer and just check off there when you did that. You're going to have to decide between you and God about how much time put in prayer. But that way it's going to help build your spirit man up in God's word. And with all this homework, you're just going to love the pastor. So in there on page 9 explains about this homework. I want you to place that your mind's renewed to God's word and we're speaking God's word and acting on God's word. So I'd like for you to read here. Go with me to 2 Timothy. And in chapter 1 here, if you need a pen, raise your hand. I'll give you one. In 2 Timothy, now this verse of scripture you want to teach your children, your grandchildren, your loved ones, your parents, and you know people you know and people that you just get to become acquainted with. But verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." And then just keep going to your right, and you're going to come over here to 1 John. And in 1 John, the Bible says here in chapter 4, verse 18, "There is no fear in love," it's talking about the God kind of love, "but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Chapter 5, now verse 18 says, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one touch him not." And then while you're reading these scriptures here, let's go over here to the book of 2 Peter, please. To the left, a few pages, we'll come here to 2 Peter. Now notice here in 2 Peter chapter 1, the scripture says here in verse 1, "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them which obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied in you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power Now, verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 1, hath, that means has, he's already done it, hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, in other words, by these exceeding great and precious promises, might be partakers of his divine nature. Now, we sung today, we have the nature of God. Well, according to the word of God, we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. So when a person receives Jesus as the Lord and Savior, they become born again. They become a child of God. Or, you know, some people say they got saved, which is fine. And what happens is your spirit man became alive unto God through Jesus Christ. You're a new creature as though you've never sinned. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. And every believer, once they receive Jesus the Lord and Savior, then they need to get in God's Word, in these epistle letters, to find out about who you are in Christ. And the first thing God wants you to know is you are what His Word says you are. And you don't want to talk contrary to God's Word. So you see, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear is torment. It's from the devil. Satan is the tormentor, according to the Word. Hell is full of torment. And so Satan brings torment to you through fear. And that's one of the reasons why people don't step out on God's Word is because they're afraid. Afraid of what someone may think. Afraid it may not work. And when you find yourself that way, you're not in your right mind when you think that way. Anyone that does not have their mind renewed to God's Word is not in their right mind. You know, you've heard people say in the world, someone did something and said, well, they just must not have been in their right mind. Anybody in their right mind, my mother would say, wouldn't have done that. Well, when you become born again, God wants you to renew your mind to His Word. And He wants your mind to be transformed to His Word. That anything that comes up, see, as a pastor, this is where I want you to get the place. I want you to get the place that if anything happens to you, comes up in your life, the first thing you think of is, what does the Word say about this? Not, oh my God, I got to get everybody to pray for me. And thank God for prayer. I believe in prayer. But I don't want you thinking that first. I want you thinking, what is there an exceedingly great and precious promise that covers this? See, all the Bible's God's Word, from Genesis to Revelation. I believe this is the only book that God inspired, wrote. And if this is God's Word, and it is, then in His Word He'll reveal to you His will. But not only that, in His Word is promises. See, not every verse is a promise. And I want you to get a hold of those promises that belong to you. They're the ones that's going to give you power every day in your life. And you'll make a difference. I remember when I was in Bible school, we had these classes, you had to take them because it was required. And I thought to myself, you know, I didn't say anything. But this guy sitting next to me finally said, Rich, you don't like this class, do you? Well, I said to him, I said, you know, in 10 years someday, you won't be using any of this. You'd have Greek and Hebrew classes, tell you what this word means and that word means, and who Paul took on his third missionary journey. I don't care who he took, you know. I couldn't change it. It doesn't mean nothing to me. The guy's not around, whoever he did take. I wanted to get hold of those exceedingly great and precious promises. I got saved in the Pentecostal church. They'd have fights over Daniel's 70th week. And there's probably been 10 or 12 antichrists since I've been saved. I've had some people thought I was. But you see, now, I can't stop him, but I have authority over him in Jesus' name. And you want to get a hold of God's Word. And the first scripture you need to teach your children is God has not given you a spirit of fear. Fear is from Satan. And you've got to stop fear. Fear brings you into bondage. And it's behind oppression, it's behind grief, it's behind sorrow, it's behind depression, anxiety, cares, worries, doubt, and unbelief. The root of that is fear. It's from Satan. And what faith will do with God, fear will do with Satan. In other words, if God can get you to believe these exceedingly great and precious promises and begin to act like these exceedingly great and precious promises, is God speaking to you? And get you to act on these exceedingly great and precious promises, then these exceedingly great and precious promises will become a reality in your life and they'll manifest. But if Satan, the only thing he's got to counter these exceedingly great and precious promises is fear. He's got to get you to be afraid to step out on God's promises and do what God told you to do. And that's what he uses on all of us, is fear. It's from him. It's the reciprocal of faith. The direct opposite. So anytime fear comes to you, know this. Now this is what I want you to know. Anytime that fear comes to you, I want you to know this. There is an exceedingly great and precious promise that covers this problem that's coming to me. This fear that's waking me up in the middle of the night. I know somewhere in this word, there's an exceedingly great and precious promise. If you don't know a verse, you at least got the name of Jesus, and his name's above everything. That name of Jesus, you got to talk to fear. You say, fear, I resist you in Jesus' name. Fear, I give you no place in my life. I mean, you know, as a kid, and even when I was a teenager, I'd get scared and I'd pee my pants. I had no control. I mean, and then at night, when I went to bed, in the middle of the night, I'd wet the bed. And so if I went to scout camp or any place, every night I'd wet the bed. Just tormented by this. I mean, you don't want anybody to know this, especially as a boy. I never was a girl. But, you know, as a boy. And so you'd pee the bed. My parents did everything they could to get me to stop peeing the bed. I got the lectures, I got spanked, but I peed the bed. And I get scared, I pee my pants. Well, you see, my parents did know. Look at him smile back there. What's he smiling about for? He didn't pee the pants. So, my parents did not know. They did the best what they had. But they did know an exceedingly great and precious promise to use. And so, therefore, I lived in fear. Fear of everything. Afraid of dogs. Afraid of people. Afraid of people look different. Afraid of people go, no, don't go near them. They look weird. But you got to face fear in the name of Jesus. I believe that's one of the reasons God had me move to New York City. That place can be intimidating. But I just say, greater is he that's in me than he's in New York City. Man, you think Connecticut is that snobbish. Just go to Greenwich Village. But you say what the word says about you. So these fears, we were trained. Some of us became experts in fear. We were trained by our parents. They'd say, well, put a coat on because it's so cold out and I'm afraid you'll catch a cold. And next thing we did, you told your children the same thing. Don't go outside, I'm afraid something will happen. Don't go out in the street, I'm afraid you get hit by a car. You going to go to the service tomorrow night? Oh, I'm afraid not. Afraid to death. My mom was always tickled to death. I'm just worried sick over you. Well, see, you grow up in a home that's afraid to death, dying to go, dying if you don't go, sick of this. That person just makes me sick. See, and she'd say it this way. That person just makes me sick. And then she'd come in the door. Hi. You all got mothers? They're amazing, aren't they? Mothers are amazing creatures. They cry. And Mother's Day's coming. They cry. Mothers are amazing. They'll cry if you serve God. They'll cry if you don't serve God. My mom cried, was a sinner, and when I got saved, I told them I'm going to do what Jesus wanted done. They're going to cry, you know. Well, you see now, you need to tell your children that God has not given them a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And you teach them not to be afraid of anything. When these demon-possessed realities come around that try to get your kids afraid of things, you'd say, don't you talk to him that way. I'll have my son cast the devil out of you. And you're to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. And you don't want anybody to be afraid of anything. So when you find something you're afraid of, you got to face it and you got to talk to fear. It's a spirit. Jesus talked to evil spirits. He cast out the spirits with his word. You've got to take the word of God and make it a sword of the spirit and speak to these things. And just guard your conversation that you don't let Satan know anything that you're afraid of. Fear comes all of us. Some people's afraid of elevators. Some people's afraid of escalators. Some people's afraid of flying. Some people afraid to leave. Some people afraid to go. Some people, just going to a new church is weird. Do you ever just go to a new church? You don't know if you're going to be attacked by all the greeters and sign here and are you a member or no one talks to you and you leave. I mean, either way, the devil will have you griping. Well, I went there and they never talked to me. Well, we went and they made us stand up. tried to get us to become members the first service. God bless you if you pastor, because go figure people out. You call him too much, you call him too much. He never calls me. He should have known. Well, people are a trip, aren't they? Thank God we're all people. But we got God's word, God's exceeding great and precious promises. And when you find out you're afraid of something, you recognize fear, you got to recognize it. Your Father God does not want you afraid, and you got to talk to it in the name of Jesus. And teach your children, your family, say the same thing. You begin to say 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in me than he is in the world. I said that one of my first contracts I had to sign at a hotel doing one of our camp meetings. And I never credit card, and I was all concerned about this. So before I went, I started saying, greater is he that's in me than he's in the Sheraton Hotel. In the name of Jesus. And greater is he that's in me or wherever else you're going to go. But you take in those exceedingly great and precious promises, and you use them. Now, you're there in Peter. Notice over here in the book of Romans. Now, notice here in Romans chapter 12, the Bible says here in verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, notice verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, that's our responsibility as believers. We've got to be able to take God's word and renew our mind to God's word, that we get to the place that we think we are what God's word says we are. That anything comes up in our life, the first thing we think of is, what does the word say about this? James called, in the book of James, it's the saving of the soul. Taking God's word, listening to it, speaking it, talking it. That the first thing rises up in your life, you'll think, what does the word say about this? Remember when God said to Adam, where art thou? And Adam said, I hid myself because I was afraid. So the first person we have being afraid is Adam. He taught us fear. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, I was afraid, I hid myself. Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, let us pass on the side. Great storm came up, filled the boat with water. They woke up, Jesus said, carest thou not that we perish? And care always goes along with fear. The root cause of care, worry, anxiety, stress is fear. Men's hearts shall fail them for fear of things to come. That's what the news of the world does. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17. Fear comes by hearing the word of the world. It's just an opposite. And you listen to the news of the world, fear will come. You'll get angry. You'll get stressed out. Some of the worst stuff on television is news. And they have it in the banks. They have CNN on in the banks. They got it on in the airports, wherever you go. They want to make sure that people are watching the news. That's why people are afraid. They hear things. And then they begin to think about those things. You hear God's word, you'll begin to think about what God's word says. David's brothers, they're down in the holes. They're not facing Goliath. They've got a covenant. They got the same covenant David had. David didn't have this super duper covenant that they didn't have. He just acted on that covenant. And when the disciples woke up Jesus and said, carest thou not that we perish? Jesus said to the storm, peace be still, and said to them, why are you so fearful, and how is it you have no faith? The answer to fear is act on God's word. Act like you're not afraid of any tidings or things that's coming against you. Don't talk fear. Renew your mind to God's word. Because if you don't get your mind renewed to God's word, then you'll do things that's foolish. That's contrary to God's word. Something will happen, and next thing you do, some of the foolish things. All because you failed to act on God's word. A person that does not act on God's word as a believer, then what happens is they're not in the right mind. It's not right to be afraid. It's not right to worry. It's not normal to be afraid. It's not normal to fret. God doesn't want us to be afraid. He wants us to be carefree. He said, cast all your cares over on me. Worry is a sin. And it's a sin to worry about things. Worry comes to all of us. But you got to talk to it. It's just not going to leave. You got to make it leave. You got to run it out in the name of Jesus. And say, no, in Jesus' name, I refuse fear. And face your fears in the name of Jesus. And by not talking your fear is the first step. And not, people say, take care. I just say, no thanks. That gets their attention at least. Take care. Aren't you worried something's going to happen? And when you answer back the word, that makes religious people all upset. My mom told people, he don't have enough sense to worry. Sorry, Mom, I'm picking on you, but you're the one that said it. You shouldn't have said it. So we've got God's word. And the point is, you'll grow up in an atmosphere of fear and worry and doubt and unbelief. And when you start talking the word, people don't realize you're not basing that on your feelings. You're basing it on your covenant you have with God. You found an exceedingly great and precious promise that covers this problem, and you're standing on an exceedingly great and precious promise. You're activating your covenant by talking the word. The answer to fear is faith. The answer to poverty is prosperity, and prosperity will always overcome poverty. Divine health and healing will always overcome every sickness and disease. And faith will always overcome fear. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. But it starts out by you getting an exceedingly great and precious promise. And you keep that in your mouth and you meditate on it day and night. Like God told Joshua, don't let this book of law depart out of your mouth. Perfect love casts out fear. As we grow and develop into God kind of love, we'll be fear-free, worry-free, stress-free, care-free. See, people want you to worry about them. Well, I never called. Wasn't you concerned? Well, they haven't called. Wonder if they're okay. They were supposed to be here an hour ago. I'm just worried sick something's happened. And then something did happen. I knew something was going to happen. And they prophesied it. So glad they did. I told you. I knew it. It just wasn't good. I knew something was wrong. You ever been around people? Not only one. Christians can act very immature. And you're never to act like a little child. You teach your children to maintain control. And you teach them not to be afraid. Remember all this rain we had a few days ago, you know? Well, some of us guys decide we get in a canoe and go canoeing through the soccer fields and people's backyards. You know, Farmington Valley was flooded. It went over the bridges. So not only, it just looked like one solid lake, like a reservoir. So Skylar and I and Stefan's dog, we got it into the canoe. Start paddling. We're paddling through soccer fields, just having a great time, man. Trying to figure out, isn't there a road around here? There used to be a road here. There used to be a bridge here. The flower bridge that the ladies cover with flowers. It covered it. The flowers are gone. Well, you know, in a canoe, you don't want anybody moving. And it was 37 degrees outside. And the dog moved. Razzie, sit still. Sit still. Sit here. She'd move on this side, move on this side, you know. And, you know, she's like 10 years old and never swam one time in her life. I mean, the parents would take meat and wrap it around a ball and throw it in the water. Go on, get in. You get in first. You know, some dogs are almost smarter than people. You want the meat, you get in. And a lab to boot. They're water dogs. Never got in, never swam one time. So she's with us. And we're paddling through Farmington Valley, enjoying the soccer fields, trying to figure out, there used to be a house over there. It's deep, see. People didn't believe how deep it was. So we're paddling around there, and we bumped into a branch, because there's trees and branches hanging out. We're in people's yards and places. Hit the tree, the dog moved, and we flipped over. And just as we're going down, I'm thinking, boy, that water's going to be cold. Got all this winter clothes on. See, like we came from Vermont. LL Bean pants on. Oh, no, but. And it was cold. Well, the first thing comes to you is fear. Fear of the cold water. I'm cast down fear of what his mom's going to say, you know. What was he doing in the canoe? And you should have known better, Dad. You get the big lecture. I expect more out of you. Somebody should have been an adult. You know, all that. So we're going to have to walk back through town, down the road, sopping wet. We're still waiting in water, you know. And I kept saying to Skylar, you know, he's only 10. I kept saying, Don't act like you're afraid now. Just keep moving. We're going to keep moving. Keep going. It's cold, though. I said, well, keep moving. You know? There's some guy standing there looking at us, you know. Well, you see, now, you'll just be someplace. Something will happen. And you may well not get a hold of the prayer tower or Brother Rich or whoever else prays with you. But thank God you've got the name of Jesus. You've got the Word of God, and you know that fear is not of God. So I just kept saying, don't act like you're afraid. Act like you got good courage. Be strong. You know, he's only 10. Be strong and don't be afraid. I'm telling him all the way where we're walking. Bloop, bloop, bloop with all this water, you know. Then finally make it to the neighborhood. Now we're like wet rats walking through here. The neighborhood, see? But the point is, you see, fear comes. And when it comes, you teach your children not to be afraid. And you rise to the occasion and say, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and sound mind, and we refuse to be afraid. Fear is torment. It's not from God. It's not right to be. You're not in your right mind if you're afraid. And the only way you can get your right mind is get your mind renewed to God's Word. Anyone that does not have their mind renewed to God's Word is not in their right mind. And meds won't help this. Only God's Word. Meditating on the Word. Speaking the Word. That's why you want your tape player going. You want to push play on there and it kicks in. Those songs you sung in church, they're singing the Word. I got the life of God in me. See, that beats our old Pentecostal songs. We'd sing Somewhere in the Shadow. Jesus ain't in the shadows, he's the light. As you get a hold of God's Word, the entrance of God's Word brings light. And we get people get all emotional singing those songs, singing out of the hymnal. We're going to sing number 237. Well, 237 may not be filled with God's Word. Just because it's in a Christian bookstore or on a Christian radio station doesn't mean it's the Word. You want to make sure that minister, that book you're reading, is teaching you how to apply God's Word or just put it in the trash. Don't give it to somebody else. You make sure it's lined up with the Word. Just because you bought it in a Christian bookstore doesn't make it God's Word or line up with God's Word. And just because you heard on Christian radio, most of these people on radio, you don't have to prove that you're called of God to have a radio program. Sad but true. Just pay the bill and say something stupid and they'll put you on. And I told them, you know, when these stations I used to be on in New England, you know, who are these people you got on here? Oh, the owner would get upset, see. I said, Mr. So-and-so, you had no business have these programs on. And I'd hear some new program come on, it was full of a bunch of crap. I'd call up the station. This guy bought the Pepsi-Cola mansion. He was loaded. And I said, you know, what do you got this program on for? Last thing in any world, people in New England need to do be hearing is hearing this program. Don't be listening to gospel radio. Because you're going to keep listening to those programs and one bumps into another one. And next thing you know, you'll hear something that has to do about how God took Johnny and blessed mommy. Just because it calls it Christian doesn't make it Word of God. That's sad, but it's the way it is. And God does not want you burdened down with these things of the world. And fear has got to enter in, and it just comes through preachers. Some preachers preach guilt and condemnation, and it keeps the sheep from growing and developing spiritually. God wants you to get to the place that you're standing on God's Word. I don't care how long you've been saved, how long you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. If you don't get God's Word inside of you, it won't come out of you when you need it. If Jesus hadn't stood on that ship and said, peace be still, and spoke the wind, spoke the storm, they'd all went blub, 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 and we'd have lost Peter, James, and John, and Jesus. That would have been a real sorry case to lose the disciples because no one would speak to the storm. Peter began to sink because of fear, saw the wind boisterous and beginning to be afraid. And it always brings you down. Fear always brings you down. Job said, the thing I've greatly feared has come upon me. That's what I was afraid of has happened unto me. Job chapter 3, verse 25. And Pentecostal people, bless their hearts. Oh, Brother Rich, I'm just like poor old Job. If Job was here, he'd just have to move over. I'm just as poor as Job's turkeys. Well, I never read Job had turkeys, but I did read God gave him twice as much as he had before, and you've got the same God that Job had. Job had, look how many camels he had. I mean, those camels hauled things. And you've got the same God. You don't have to be perfect to get these blessings from God, because it ain't going to happen. You don't have to be good enough, long enough to get God to bless you. He's already blessed you. It's not what you've done. It's what Jesus did. And what you've got to do, that's why some sinner comes in and gets more blessings than somebody who's been saved, sanctified, filled the Holy Ghost, hukamasandai, for years. Who said that? You got to help me.
I know that, and I help you too.
Thank you.
I would help you too.
I'm sorry. There's anointing over here.
Yeah, you're preaching the word. Don't let nobody fool you. You're preaching the word.
Amen.
Yes. The word is where it's at.
Amen. Amen.
Folks, I'm going to tell you something.
Amen.
It's not church. You can't do this in church. I wish I could tell you different. You go to church seven days a week. It won't do any good. You've got to get the word inside of you. I don't care how long you've been a church member, how long you've went, what all, you could have tithed till for all your life. You've got to get these exceeding great and precious promises in you. Going to church isn't enough. If you came here 7 days a week, it's not enough. You got to get the word inside of you. You do it in your own personal time. Get your tape player, push play. Your flesh doesn't want to hear it. And you don't want your children to be afraid. And when you find fear come to your house, teach those children that God has not given the spirit of fear. Explain things to them now and then. You know, we're believing God's promises. You know, when they're teenagers, you may have to say something different. But especially when they start out little. And just, if they don't hear you talking, fear is going to be a great blessing. See, my grandson, he's in the middle of that field. He's sopping wet. It's freezing cold. It's not zero. But it's a great opportunity to teach him not to be afraid. I said, you did good. When he got a hot shower and got dry clothes on, man, I said, you did great. You did good. Now, God forbid if it ever happens again, this is what we do. If it's colder, stay with the boat. But just keep saying, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. The greater is He that is in us than He is in the world, for we can't go down because we're standing on God's promises. Look at this, Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, man, you people are going to start shouting one of these days. In Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 3, I got this verse of Scripture either through Jerry Savero or Kenneth Copeland or someone years ago. And the Scripture says here, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had made Himself purge our sins, set down the right hand of the majesty on high. This is what Jesus did for us. And God is upholding all things by His word. And like Brother Savell said years ago, if you want to get upheld, get on what? Get on the word. That means you're standing on God's promise. And no matter how bleak it may seem, no matter how dark it may seem, no matter what the bank may say, no matter what the creditors may say, God just needs you to keep standing on His word. You keep saying what the word says in Jesus' name. You keep saying, I'm redeemed in Jesus' name. I know of a lady that she had a business, and Mark, they put her furniture, the sheriff came, and the moving company, and they put her furniture on the street. And she was a tither and a businesswoman. And she stood out there and took her Bible and said, I'm still standing on God's promises. See, that's the time, you know, most of us, I did all I know to do. I don't understand what is going on. You ever watch kids cry? They'll go, and if you don't look, they'll, somebody looks. That's how we are with God, His promises. But that lady, I'll tell you, I couldn't believe it, man. She outdid the preacher, she outdid me. She kept standing out by the street, and there's all the stuff's out there. And that land place had to come by, the people owned it, put her back in. Well, you see, no matter what, the devil bring up all the past failures, that's to bring fear to you. You bring up an exceedingly great and precious promises because you know something now that you didn't know then. You've got some experience on God's word. So no matter all the bad things that happen, you just keep bringing up that exceedingly great and precious promise. You keep saying what it says. You keep acting like it's true. You do that, that's when you're in your right mind. If you don't do what I'm telling you to do, you are not in your right mind. The only way you can be in your right mind is when your mind is renewed to God's word and you're speaking the word, talking the word, and acting like the word's true. What's the person in their right mind? They've got their mind renewed to God's word. They got their spirit man full of God's word. They're talking the word. That's when your prayers will work, when you've got the word abiding inside of you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to that power that worketh in us. And God upholds everything by His word. So we have to get on His word. Those exceedingly great and precious promises that we read about, that's where God has already given you all things that pertain in life and godliness. Religion will say, oh, I know the Lord's going to do it someday in His good time. What's He going to do? I'm telling you, Brother Rich, I know He's going to do it someday, but faith says it's done. Faith says I've got it now. Faith calls those things that be not as though they were. Faith says what the Word says about me. Faith keeps on standing, and having done all to stand therefore. Faith decrees what God has already said as though it's done. Abraham, his body's dead. Sarah's body's dead. But he's not moved by what he sees. He's only moved by the promise that God gave him, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he's about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You want strong faith? Just keep giving glory. Religion can't do this. Religion said, well, we don't quite understand these things. God moves in mysterious ways. His ways are higher than ours. That's why He gave us His word. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return me void. It shall accomplish that which you please and prosper in the thing whereto you sent it. He sent His word and healed us. Mary said, according to the word, be it unto me. It's the word. The word way is always God's way. If you're not on God's promise, you prayed and you didn't pray a promise, you're wrong. Grab a promise. If you don't know one, ask someone. If you don't know a promise in the Bible, then grab a hold of the name of Jesus. His name's above every name. It takes a while to learn the word. I'm still learning. But God doesn't want you to, He doesn't want you to stress or worry about anything. Because He doesn't want you tormented. And Satan will torment you night and day. You'll lose your sleep. You'll lose your health. You'll lose your life eventually. You want to be very careful. Many dear people, like I said Tuesday night, many dear people, God bless them, have taken a gun and taken their life. Man, I've been in situations, folks, beg God to die. I understand why people do things. Because there's a devil out there. And he'll get you so depressed, so oppressed, that you don't see anything way out. And that's where drugs and alcohol comes in to the picture. See, people say, I don't understand that. Well, if you had their problems, God only knows what you'd have done. But if our minds renew the word, we're going to think, no, this is Satan. And many of your people have taken their life. But you know, multitudes have taken their life with their mouth. They spoke words of death out their mouth. And life and death are in the power of the tongue. And they killed themselves. They said, well, you know, if I can just live to be 70. And when they're 69, they start dying. Elvis Presley said, he said, I'll never live past the age my mother lived. People, it was his friends, said he said it all the time. Even his 20s. And you see, you set those spiritual laws in motion, the rest of us can't change them. You reap what you sow. You sow with your tongue, and you reap. Somewhere that person spoke words of death instead of words of life. I call heaven and earth to record this day that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Who his own self bear our sins, his own body in a tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. God wants us to live. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Look over here at Isaiah. I want to I want you to have these scriptures. Take them home with you today. In Isaiah chapter 53. Now the scripture says here in verse 4, Isaiah 53. If you can't find it, that's okay. Just jot it down. Just put IS period. 53, verse 4 and 5. Surely, talk about what Jesus is going to do, and he's already done it. Surely he bore our what? And carried our what? Now that's something he's already done for us. He took our griefs, he took our sorrows. God doesn't want us to grieve, and he doesn't want us to be full of sorrows. And that's like that rich young ruler, remember? He said, well, Lord, I've observed all these commandments from my youth. And Jesus said, one thing thou lackest, go thy way and sow what's heaven. Come, give the poor and come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad that saying and went away grieved. He broke both of these. He said he knew the old covenant. He said, I kept the old covenant. Did he? He didn't keep this. He allowed himself to become grieved and sorrow. And that's what destroyed him. The worst thing he did is he walked away from Jesus. No matter what you do, God can help you. But you walk away from Jesus, and you decide you turn your back on God's word and his promises, then you limit God in helping you. He's got to wait until you come back. I mean, God, he'll be right there. In all your mistakes, he'll be right there to help you. But he was sad at that saying and went away grieved. He was sad at that saying and went away grieved. And Jesus bore your sadness. He bore your sorrows. He bore your grief. And you can grieve and be sorrow as long as you want to be. All you have to do is just keep replaying it. Just keep replaying it in your mind. And you're not thinking right. You're not in your right mind when you replay it. The devil will bring back all kinds of questions. The Bible said avoid foolish questions. There's a reason why. Because Satan will get back in. Through worry, through stress, through anxiety. They just worried themselves to death. They lost their health. In Isaiah here, chapter 54, verse 14, says here, in righteousness thou shalt be established, and thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come nigh thee. God doesn't want us to be afraid. He doesn't want us to worry, brothers and sisters. He said in 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7, cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he careth for you. And just Amplified says, do it once and for all. Take all your problems of your life and turn them to the Lord. And say, Lord, I'm going to give these to you in Jesus' name. You got to put your time in the Word. You got to put your time in prayer. But you're going to turn the worry over to Him. Many people's hearts fail because of fear, because of worry. Satan does all he can to get in through worry and through fear. He brings it. The answer to those things is you just say what the promises say about you. And you just keep talking God's promise. If God can get a believer to stand on that covenant and just keep on standing by saying what the Word says, no matter how bleak, no matter how dark, no matter how bad the problem may look, it's subject to change by taking God's promise. All he asks us to do is, having done all to stand, stand there. Well, I've been standing for X amount of time, and I failed at this, and I failed at that. Well, Jesus never fails. God never fails. The Word never fails. You and I failed, yes, but God doesn't. And the first thing we can do is just confess that and ask God to forgive you and get right back at it. And what you ask God to forgive you of, don't ever bring it up again. It's gone. It's only the blood of Jesus. Don't you go back and drag it all up. Because the devil, he'll bring the picture back to you, what you did. You ever look at your old pictures? Those are sweet, aren't they? What was I thinking when I wore that suit? See, they'll bring it. Someone's got an old picture. They'll bring it to you. Well, the devil brings back those old images, thoughts to your mind about what you did, about how you failed. Immediately stand up and say, no, I rebuke this in Jesus' name. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And this is the answer to terrorism and everything else. You show the enemy that you're not afraid, the devil. Father, we pray today in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, you inspired us to believe your promises. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank you, Lord, that every dear soul, every person here today, Lord, has been redeemed from fear. They're delivered in the name of Jesus. That this is their last day to be afraid. Now they know what to do, Lord, to speak to it, to talk to it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank you that your people are free in Jesus' name. Now say this together. Say this together. Fear, go from me, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I'm fear-free in the name of Jesus. Now, that's how you talk in the middle hour, in the midnight hour, because it comes to all of us, folks. Hey, look, it's real easy to get up here and preach. You can tell everybody what to do. The kick is doing it. It's not hearing the word. It's hearing and doing it. And so when the thought comes, see, deal with it. Well, you haven't seen so-and-so for a while. You haven't heard from them. What about them? Just say, Satan, I know where you're coming from, and I refuse to fear. In Jesus' name. I know where you're coming up with. I'm not ignorant of your devices. And you have no business of bringing up anybody's past. If anybody's the moron, you're the one that blew it. You used to walk with God. And there was redemption for me, and there's not for you. Like a little kid said, when you think of the devil, just light a match. Say, Satan, this is where you're going. There's going to be fire and brimstone. Talk back to the devil. I know your parents taught you not to talk back, but your pastor's going to teach you to talk back. Talk back to the devil. Talk back to the problems. Do just like David did. When Goliath talked him, then David talked back. And just say what those exceeding great and precious promises. Amen. I went to place a business the other day. I didn't know the lady. And she asked me, do you go to church? I said, I was going to try to leave her alone. Believe it or not, I try to be nice. And when she said that, everybody looked at me then. I go, that's not the question you want to ask me. You want to ask me, am I saved? Do I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior? Don't you? That's what you want to ask me, don't you? Don't you? She's still not ready to say yes. I said, don't you? That's what you meant to ask. Not that I went to church all my life, but I didn't know Jesus. Went to church every Sunday. But the question you meant wasn't it what you meant, am I saved? That's what you meant to ask me, isn't it? Like, we keep going over this. That's what you meant to ask, right? See, I got to pay for this, you know, and she wants me out now. I go, you know, people all the time go to church and go to hell. And I can say that because I'm a pastor. You know, people used to criticize me when I said stuff like that when I didn't pastor. And all I did was travel and teach the word. And one day the Lord said, I'm going to make you a pastor. I'm going to put you in this position. All this criticism that you've went through for 20 years is going to change. People are still going to criticize you, but they won't be able to say you're not a pastor. And I'm the boldest pastor that relentless I am. I'm going to be in your face with God's word. You know, people come or not. I don't, you know, I was lied to and cheated in church. Because I thought just going to church made you a Christian. That's why I said to the lady, aren't you going to ask me if I'm saved? Aren't you going to ask me if I know Jesus, my Lord and Savior? That's the question. It's not. The question isn't, do you go to church? The question is, do you know Jesus? I said, do you know him? Is he your Savior? The next time, I said, don't ask them if they go to church. Ask them if they know Jesus. Amen? Amen. So, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Where you been? Good to see you today, sweetheart. God bless you.
Thank you.
What town you live in?
Waterford,
Maryland.
Connecticut.
Okay, that's close. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is anyone here today, you're not saved, you don't know Jesus, your Lord and Savior, and you want to get saved today, you want to make peace with God. Say, preacher, I need you to pray for me today. I want to make peace with God. I need Jesus, my Lord and Savior. I don't know Jesus, my Lord and Savior. But maybe you did, but you got kind of away from me, kind of backslid. And you want to make peace with God today. If that's you, just ask the Lord to forgive you right there in your seat. Maybe you got in strife and said some things and didn't walk in a God kind of love. Then just ask the Lord to forgive you.